Other effective men lay ministers, the men in Stephanus' family, Tychicus and Archippus, were out of 1 Corinthians 16, 15 and 16, Ephesians 6, 21 and 22, and Colossians 4, 17. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12 teaches that God uses the starter gifts, and today that would be evangelists and pastor teachers, to equip the rest of the church body who do the actual work of the ministry. It's thus edifying to view the lay ministries of early church believers in addition to Aquila and Priscilla, and we continue by viewing how God effectively used other men in the early church. Last Sunday we discussed how God used other women. Now we're going to be focusing on how God used other men. Tonight we start off, first of all, with the men in Stephanus' family. This is a bit of a review. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that's a province in what is now Turkey, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Achaia, no, that's not right. That would be over in Corinth, I'm sorry. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Okay, this household is oikia, is the Greek word for household. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 and 16 speaks of the ministry of this household, and that, of course, would include the ministries of the men in the family. Well, the household had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, and the word addicted, of course, comes from the Greek word tasso, that means to appoint or to devote oneself to. Now, the men of this family then, independent of any church official directing them to do so, had seen the needs of believers around them, they had felt burdened about those needs, and had thus taken the initiative in the Holy Spirit's leading to assume responsible care for the diakonia. We get the word deacon from it, but it's actually the service or the aid and the support of these believers. So the men of this family would likely have taken the initiative to meet the needs of livelihood or employment, housing or physical protection from abusers to such an extent that their efforts left them being honored to have the apostle direct other believers to submit to them in their ministry efforts. So we studied last Sunday how that the women of Stephanus' household had ministered in their own unique way, and in such a way that Paul directed that other believers submit to them in that ministry because they had taken it upon themselves to have that ministry. And the men can do the same thing. People who are at the lay level can take upon themselves, men can take upon themselves the burden of doing a ministry. And when they take that ministry upon themselves and addict themselves to it, appoint themselves to it, they are to be honored and they are to be helped in that effort. Ephesians chapter 6, 21 and 22 refers to Tychicus. And he was a close friend and a helper of the Apostle Paul, seen in several passages of the New Testament. I want to turn to Ephesians 6, 21 and 22 first, and then we'll look at some of these other passages. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. This is the section of Scripture that often we pastors tend to overlook because it's not dealing with heavy doctrine, but it's dealing with real life people. But these are important people. Verse 21 of chapter 6. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister or faithful servant in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know of our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. So this was quite a remarkable gentleman here. Tychicus with Trophimus were two very reputable Asian believers from Asia, who were chosen to help bring the monetary collection to Jerusalem in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 19. And there were others who accompanied Paul on this mission. In Acts chapter 24 to 6, I think there were like a total of six different men who were involved. So this was a man who had a reputation for being accurate, a man who had a reputation for being responsible when it came to money and finances as well. Tychicus was also with Paul on his first Roman imprisonment, and he delivered the letters to the Ephesians, according to Ephesians 6:21 that we just read, and Colossians chapter 4, 7 to 9, to inform and to comfort believers about Paul's welfare. Now think about this. If Tychicus had not delivered the letters of Ephesians and Colossians, we wouldn't have Ephesians and Colossians in our New Testament. So Ephesians and Colossians, the fact that we have these valuable books in the Bible, are because a layman did his job. He took the epistles from Paul, who was writing them in his Roman imprisonment, and he took them to people. And it's interesting how many times throughout the history of the church, God has used important laymen as important links in the work of God to keep the work of God going. The mission that my parents were with, Sudan Interior Mission, was actually begun by three young men who went out on their own, and they were encouraged to go. And two of the men died of diseases, malaria, one died of malaria, and so forth, and only one of the men made it back alive. And he went back and he met with the mother of one of the young men who had died. These were men in their 20s, young men, all right? And the mother of one of the men who had died said, "You have got to go out again. You've got to keep going and start a mission. Don't let my son's death be in vain." And so he did, and he continued, and that's how the mission that my parents eventually joined, SIM, Sudan Interior Mission, actually got formulated. But it was because this mother was concerned, and so she, as a lay person, put a charge on Mr. Bingham not to be discouraged just because his two friends with him died, but to go back out again. And he went out, and that's how the mission was born. So there was a point there where it was nip and tuck, but there was a lady whose son had been lost, who had died of malaria in Africa, and she directed him to go out. So that's what Tychicus did. He delivered these letters, and so we are enriched because of that. He also accompanied Onesimus, Philemon's runaway slave. When Paul sent him back to his master, that Tychicus might reduce the possibility of Philemon seriously punishing Onesimus for leaving his master. Tychicus thus also represented Paul's stance to facilitate a great reconciliation. Now we know that the book of Philemon was written to the people of the church at Colossae, because Philemon was at the church at Colossae since Onesimus was going there, and Onesimus was going there with Tychicus. And we know that from the book of Colossians, that Onesimus and Tychicus were coming together. Apparently there were two letters. One was for the church as a whole, that is for the church at Colossae, that's the epistle of the Colossians. The other one was for Philemon, and it was read in front of the whole church. But that letter for Philemon, even though it was a personal letter, nevertheless made it into the canon of Scripture, because it taught the entire church throughout the Roman Empire, what do you do with a runaway slave who gets saved? Do you crucify him, like the Romans would, or do you accept him as a Christian? And Paul taught you accept him as a Christian, you don't crucify him. So that was a landmark letter, even though it was a personal letter, and that's why it made it into the canon of Scripture. There are very few personal letters that made it there. Now, Paul wrote some personal letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, also to Titus. But those are very important letters because they deal with how to pastor a church, and that's very important for us. Also, Paul planned to send Tychicus or Artemas to relieve Titus in his oversight of the churches on Crete, according to Titus chapter 3, verse 12. And he continued to serve the apostle even near Paul's death in his second imprisonment by going to Ephesus to help care for the churches that was near his original home in Asia Minor. Information comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Remember, 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul just before his execution, when he was beheaded on the Appian Way. And he says in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 4, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord rewarded him according to his works." And verse 12, "And Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus." So it's very interesting. Tychicus was going back to Asia, the province where he'd come from, and he was going to continue his ministry there. The final fellow we want to look at is Archippus. Archippus, the name Archippus, means master of the horse. Archus is head, and then hippos is the word for horse. Hippopotamus is Greek for horse of the river. Potamus is river, hippo is horse, horse of the river, river horse. But Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, and this passage I have found to be of enormous value in my own life. Colossians 4:17 mentions Archippus with insight and instructions on his ministry as a lay minister, and it's a very important passage that Paul has here. Let me read it. In Colossians 4:17, he says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received of the Lord," or in the Lord, "that thou fulfill it." Very interesting. Archippus is mentioned as part of the household of Philemon in Philemon verse 2, so he was part of the Colossian church, possibly a relative of Philemon. He could have been his son, could have been his brother, we're not sure, but he was part of the household there. Colossians 4:17 mentions his ministry with insight on what God expects of lay ministers as follows. Archippus was first of all to see or consider or note, blepo. That's interesting. If you are a person who is serving the Lord and you're a lay person, God wants you to consider very carefully your ministry. Pay attention to it, blepo. And it's a ministry or a service that's a diakonia. It's a service that you do on a regular basis. It's very important service. Sometimes if we are people who are lay people, we may not think that that service is that important because it's not that much in the limelight, but it is very important. I was talking with Dan McClarty here the other day. He's in the process of trying to put a light out here with sensors, light sensors, so that when Kathy Brunetti comes in to make the bulletin, the light will actually turn on when she drives her vehicle in, so that it will be well lit. She's been concerned about it being dark when she gets out as a lone woman coming and opening the door. So Dan is in the process now of installing a light sensor. It'll automatically turn on this side of the church. But apparently he's got some things to work through. He's run into bugs and problems and whatnot, but he is trying to do that. But that's a very important thing. Look, we're talking about the safety of someone, a woman who wants to come and work on the bulletins. Sometimes Kathy comes and she works in the garden in the spring and the summer and so forth. This is extremely important. So it's very important. So pay attention to the ministry, the service that you have received. Paralambano is something that you have received. If you have a ministry, it is something that has been given to you. Who gave it to you? You might say, well, the board gave it to me, or someone who assigned it to me. Ultimately, the board didn't do it. The one who gave that ministry to you is the Lord. Notice it says they've received in the Lord. A lot of people don't know this, but it's not just pastors and evangelists and missionaries who are going to give an account to the Lord someday for their service. It's everybody. Everybody who has a ministry, and that includes lay people. You have received, pay attention to the ministry that you've received from the Lord in order that, hina means in order that, you might fulfill it. What this means is that you complete it. A lot of times, it's easy to get a ministry started. It's easy to get all excited about beginning to start something, but 3, 4, 5 weeks into it, it becomes kind of routine, and the motivation level may not be quite as high, and the fire of motivation isn't burning quite as brightly. So many times people just sort of peter out, stop. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to complete the ministry that we completed. So this involves several important factors in lay ministry that all believers must observe, and all believers will give an account. Pastors will, yes. Evangelists will, yes. Missionaries will, yes. Lay ministers will too. All of us need to pay attention to our ministries. And it's good for us to reevaluate. Pay attention to the service, the assignment that we've received from the Lord. It's a very important assignment. It's good to have it defined. If we have a difficulty understanding what our contribution is, it would be good to talk to other Christians. Other Christians can give us wonderful feedback as to how we minister to them. So they can actually help us define that assignment. That all lay ministers have been given by God Himself. Ministry is a ministry that God gave. That you complete it versus failing to stick faithfully to the task and do a quality job that pleases the Lord. Do a good job, really a quality job. So the ministries of laymen are to involve personal motivation, responsible action that helps other needy believers, a focus on paying attention to the service assignment each has received from the Lord, that each fulfill that assignment faithfully, doing a quality job for which he will give an account to the Lord. So if God has assigned us laymen ministries, may we view our calling as a divine assignment for which we will give an account to the Lord at his return, that we stay highly motivated, that we act responsibly, that we be helpful to needy believers, and that we faithfully perform a quality job as unto the Lord. I've got a story to give to you about a believer that I knew many years ago, a layman who's now with the Lord. His name is Ernie Norby. If you knew him, you'd absolutely love him. He was just a wonderful, very friendly fellow and so forth. He was a truck driver. In fact, he was one of the few truck drivers that was a million miler. A million miler. When you drove a truck and you had clocked up working for the company over a million miles on the road, you were given a special watch. And it was a special watch, million miler. He was a million miler. Well, he saw the need to help out in the church, driving the church Sunday school bus. We had a church outreach, Sunday school bus, and so he drove it. And one day he was working on it, and something happened. There was a gasoline kickback in the engine, and he caught his arm on fire. I don't know if it was right arm or if it was left arm. I think it might have been his left arm. And he seriously burned it, and he ended up losing, I think, three fingers on his hand. And he scarred his hand all the way up the shoulder here, and I think he had to get some grafts, but there were serious burns all over. It was very mangled. Now, a lot of laymen would say, well, that's it. I'm not going to serve God anymore. Look what happened to me. But Ernie didn't do that. Kept driving a school bus after he got better. And then he got himself a boat. It was with a Chrysler, a flat-top engine on it, and he took the kids of the church out. He taught all of us kids how to water ski up on Lake Orville, and then also on Lake Shasta, he would take us up there. And Ernie just loved the Lord, and he loved to try to encourage the young people to give their lives to the Lord, to serve the Lord. And I remember many times sitting with Ernie in the boat, and he'd talk about the Lord, talk about things of the Lord, and he was a great encouragement to me, an encouragement to the other young people. And eventually he died of cancer, and I wrote a letter to him and thanked him for the ministry that he'd had in my life, and I wrote it on our church stationery at Nepog Church. And his wife read it to him as he was on his deathbed, had about a week to live, and his wife's name was Maggie. And he says, Maggie, keep that letter and show the kids. I want our kids to see it, because I want them to dedicate their lives to serve the Lord. He'd know me. In fact, he had been in the church and been supporting me when I was just a little kid out in Africa. Mom and Dad they would pass little plates with shells, the shell, because I was Donnie Shell, so they had these little seashells, and they'd pass an offering plate, and that's why I took up the offering. But he remembers that when I was a little kid. But he was there, and he helped me, encourage me all through my teenage years, and then on into seminary, and then into the pastorate, and while I was here at Nepog Church, and then he finally died. But he was motivated right to the very end, concerned that young people especially dedicate their lives and serve the Lord, and so he went out into glory. And I really believe that Ernie's going to get a lot of rewards for that, because he was absolutely committed to the kids of the church, always was. He didn't let the burned hands upset him and bother him. He never became bittered over that. He was just privileged to serve. Now, he had been divorced before he was saved and remarried, so he knew he could never serve as a deacon, and that didn't bother him. But wherever he could serve, he wanted to serve, and he was highly motivated to serve. And he was a tremendous testimony to us. So I would trust that we would be like Ernie and take the job that God has given us seriously, and because it's important, and God can use us mightily for his glory.